Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, and especially you, Pat, and Marcy, and Mark, and Amy, and all the dear family and friends of our brother in Christ, Jim. The Lord be with you. Amen. You have all been in my prayers, our church's prayers this past week, for comfort and for peace. As you mourn the loss of your husband, your father, your brother, your friend, and our fellow child of God, we are all mourning the loss of a saint. Not a perfect man, of course, but a saint nonetheless, because Jim is a baptized child of God who loved and trusted fully in the forgiveness of sins that was won for him by his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today, we mourn. It's appropriate to do that, but we don't mourn as those who have no hope, as Paul reminds us, but as fellow saints in the family of God who are reminded that we have a great hope, a hope in the resurrection of Jesus, which also assures all who have faith in him that one day we too will be enjoying the perfection of eternity that Jim is enjoying right now. May that be something that puts a smile on your face today, that Jim is enjoying the perfection of eternity. Because those who follow in his way and those who know him as the truth are promised abundant life, which is exactly what Jesus speaks of in the gospel that we just heard. John 14, in that reading, we heard Jesus say, "I am the way and the truth and the life." These are such comforting words. They're words of comfort for those of us who might on a day such as this think that the way has been lost or that the truth is hard to come by or that life is just a fleeting thing. Jesus, who always was and who always will be, reminds us that he is the way and the truth and the life. But before he says those words, Jesus is speaking to his gathered crowd of disciples. And specifically, he's replying to Peter's question about where Jesus is going. And he's speaking to this fearful group of disciples who don't yet understand why it is that Jesus has to go to the cross, why it is that he must die and then be raised again on the third day. They so wanted to be with Jesus. They so wanted to be in his presence. They didn't want him to go, but they didn't understand what he would have to go through to win for them the eternal life that he was promising to them. Some of my final conversations with Jim were ones where he expressed his greatest fears. And I know that you as the family had some of those conversations too, much like those disciples were doing. But these were not fears of being separated from Jesus. Jim was confident in his salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. His fears were for those that he would leave behind. His fears were for all of you. His fears were for you, Pat, and for his children. So I pray that these words of Jesus recorded here in the Gospel of John would be as much comfort for you today as they were for Jim as they were read to him. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. You know the way. Jim knew the way. You know the way because you know Jesus. And yet sometimes we can be an awful lot like Thomas, who says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And to each of us who today express these fears, these doubts, this confusion, Jesus says to us, as he said to those disciples and as he said to Jim, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. These are words of great comfort. They're words of comfort for us because we know the way to the Father, which is through Jesus Christ. Jim knew the way. Jim knew the truth. And I know that his most fervent prayer was that all of you would know the way and the truth and the life also. Because deep down, I know that his greatest fear was not as much about your lives for the rest of your time here on this earth. His fear was rather about your salvation and his heartfelt desire that you, each and every one of you here, his family, his friends, those people who only knew him just a little bit and who knew how wonderful Jim was, his heartfelt desire was that you would be reunited with him and all the saints that have gone before us in heaven on that day of the resurrection of all flesh. He desired that because that's who Jim was, a caring and loving husband and father and friend. This statement of Jesus, I am the way and the truth and the life, is just one of the seven I am statements that Jesus makes that are recorded in the Gospel of John. And one of the others is this. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And Jesus says that because he is the light of the world, entered into humanity to shine in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. That light shines on each one of you. It shines into the darkness of your lives. It shines into the reality of your sin, and it overcomes that darkness. What's more, in Matthew, Jesus says this. He says, you are the light of the world. Each and every one of you. You are the light of the world. Not because you produce this light that overcomes the darkness, but because you reflect the light of Christ that has come into your lives. Everyone who knew Jim knows that he was a giver. And I am blessed to have been the recipient of one of Jim's gifts. A couple of years ago, he called me up one day, and it was a beautiful day outside, and so I think he as much wanted to get out in his car as anything else. And he said, can I come over and see you in your office? And I said, sure. And he said, I have something for you. And he drove his beautiful car over there and got to show that off. But that's not what he wanted to give me. He walked into the office with something that was wrapped up, and I couldn't tell what it was. And I unwrapped it, and I was absolutely amazed at what Jim had made, what he had made for me. And I hadn't known Jim all that long at this point, but he knew a couple of things about me. He knew, first of all, that I loved golf. And second of all, he knew that I loved a very certain football team. So I hope that you'll forgive me. Actually, maybe you can't see that from out there. If you did happen to see that, I hope that you'll forgive me for bringing this lamp with a Buffalo Bills logo on it into this space today. I noticed there was one with another team, and I do realize that there is only one team that we root for here in Wisconsin. But more than that, I hope you'll forgive Jim for having made this. Because it was a labor of love for a friend that he knew would appreciate it greatly. And I do. This lamp has been in my office up in Adel ever since. But not, I don't appreciate it only because of the golf clubs that he used to create it. I don't appreciate it only because of the wonderful logo that's on the heads of those clubs. I cherish this gift now because now it reminds me of a man who took those words of Jesus to heart. And that's what it will forever remind me of. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do a people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. If I were to try to turn this light on so that it would give me some light to be able to work by up here, it wouldn't work. I just turned the switch and it didn't come on. That's because it's not connected to anything. I've got a cord here, and it's simply not connected. It only will become a source of light when it's connected to something that gives it power. And so luckily, I have a little source of power back here. And if I plug that light in and I flip that switch again, what it does is it gives us light. Not because itself can produce that light, but because it is connected to a source of power. And in the same way, the light that you shine into this world is only possible because you are connected to the one true source of that light. The one who is the light of the world. Jim understood this. And he was a shining light in this world because he understood that Christ's light come into this world to overcome the darkness was reflecting through him. And his desire was that others would see that light and give glory to their Father who is in heaven. One other thing that you might already know about Jim is that his favorite Bible verse was Psalm 118, verse 24. Family who was gathered here before the visitation heard that whole psalm read, and they heard it read in the King James Version. And the reason for that is because Marcy mentioned to Pastor Gillespie and I in an email as we were planning the service for today that he wouldn't have it any other way, would he? Couldn't possibly be read in any other translation. And I think that in itself is the proclamation of the surety that he had in the salvation and the proper response to God's gifts. Because if you remember, we actually read this verse as the gradual for today. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I heard somebody out there who started to say, let us rejoice and be glad in it, as opposed to we will rejoice and be glad in it. And that's okay because that's the translation that most of us know. That's the translation that Jim didn't want said, right? And I think the reason for that is because he knew that. He knew that there was that subtle difference between those two words, let us and we will. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Means maybe we'll think about it. Possibly we'll do it. We will rejoice and be glad in it is emphatic. We will. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. I invite you to respond with, we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And that's a sure and certain response to the gifts of this day, of this life, and even more importantly, the eternal life that Jim now enjoys. And I am absolutely certain and sure that today, even in the midst of sorrow, even in this time of grief, that Jim would want all of us too to rejoice and be glad. To rejoice and be glad in the gifts that God has given to you. To grieve, yes, for sure, because there is a time to mourn, as Scripture tells us. But to grieve as those who have hope in the one who is the way and the truth and the life. In Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world and who calls us to be reflections of that light to the world around us. And with a sure and certain hope that Jim is now in the nearer presence of our Lord, we too rejoice. Because that's where we too, who have faith, will be in Christ, reunited with Jim and with all the saints who have gone before us in the heavenly realms for all of eternity. And so we will rejoice and be glad in this day. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.